Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com.
Tennessee sounds perfect.
Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. This is a two-parter.
Part two.
Thanks to our super producer, Mr. Max Williams, also research associate on this. This became our entire week because, Noel, you and I have a lot of opinions about the candies. And I'm Ben, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And it's me, Noel. And I don't know, what do you say we dive right into the chocolate river?
Let's have a reading of the of a little piece of satire written for The Sundial, coming out of Ohio State. Credit to the authors, Sarah Palazzo and Emily Pratt.
As the festivities of Halloween come to a close, we find our subject, an almond joy candy, left forgotten at the bottom of his child's candy bag. He is no stranger to this life. After going uneaten, he must endure the annual humiliation of being given away on the following Halloween, being passed on to child after child, for he is never wanted in anyone's home. The endless cycle of fleeting hope and crushing rejection never gets easier for our unfortunate almond joy.
So it's the fruitcake argument.
It's true. I do recognize I'm in the minority in liking almond joy. But hey, I clean up on Halloween, you know, because my kid gives me all the almond joy.
Cleaning up on Halloween is pretty good. How many of those almond joys make it to next Halloween?
Oh, God. I don't know. There's no leftover candy. It's there to be consumed. I don't end up with like that many, because I guess to Max's point, it does feel like it is sort of the redheaded stepchild of the, you know, candy grab bag that is often purchased. So, you know, you got to give it out to somebody, but then I guess they trickle down to, it does seem like kind of like a dad candy. So I wear it with pride.
Now, Max, can you break down for us a little bit of how Ohio State speaks to you nostalgically for Almond Joy?
Oh, yeah. It's just like, you know, my opinions on Almond Joy are so strong that, so I'm a diehard University of Michigan fan, so I hate Ohio State, but I will quote them if we're making fun of Almond Joy together. But also, University of Michigan's head coach doesn't dance with a whistle in his mouth, so I'm all good.
Well, okay. I don't know. Noel, I don't know about you, but yeah, that one flew over my head.
Yeah, right over my head. Yeah. It's fine. There'll be some folks out there that
will get it. Wait, Max, are you saying we need to have whistles or avoid whistles?
No. So before last year's Ohio State-Michigan game, Ohio State's head coach, Ryan Day, who, if he loses for a fourth straight time, will certainly be fired. I know a number of Ohio State fans who wish he was already fired. There's a video, a very unfortunate video of him dancing. So he's in the middle with all the players around. He's dancing around with a whistle in his mouth. And it's like the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen.
All right. Well, if it's not too subversive, I suggest we put a Max with the Facts in on that one.
Why not?
Why not?
Sports theme.
There we go.
Sports a dish. But yeah, it does appear that there are some very New England-y roots to Almond Joy. According to an article from MASH.com, The Untold Truth of Almond Joy, it got its roots in Naugatuck, Connecticut, with the candy seller Peter Paul Halajian, who founded the Peter Paul Candy Company in 1919. And more than two decades later, the Almond Joy was born. A little elliptical, you know, nugget of coconut covered in milk chocolate set with a crunchy almond.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You might be wondering, ridiculous historians, why did Peter Paul Halajian create the Peter Paul Candy Company? He changed his last name to Paul because it kept being mispronounced. Halajian. Yeah, kept being mispronounced. And the roots of this company do date back to the early 1900s, but the Almond Joy's real moment in the sun arrives in the 1940s, and it turns out we weren't just citing mounds for fun and games, although I do love, again, this stand-up comedian, Shen Wang. You gotta check him out. He's so good. He has a great bit on Almond Joy and mounds, and it turns out that mounds themselves are part of the reason for the success of the Almond Joy.
I guess I never realized that mounds came first. So in the earliest days of the Peter Paul Candy Company, now with name changed, Peter Paul himself, had quite a few different confections that he had designed, different candy bars, two, including coconut, one called the Kona Bar, which is chocolate, coconuts, nuts, and some fruit. And that was actually one of the first kind of, I guess, a unique creation of the Peter Paul Candy Company. This is according to Connecticut Explored. Mounds came around in 1921 as a combo of coconut filling coated in dark chocolate. And I guess based on the way things went, it kind of served as almost a prototype for the Almond Joy. But even before the Almond Joy came along, it was quite popular in its own right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mounds was quite successful. And when Paul unfortunately passes away in 1927, Carl Kazajian decides to specialize in candy. And there is a beauty to specificity. So he says, look, we're going to get rid of most of the other stuff we're making, and we're going to focus on the things that are doing the best in the market, which are mounds. And they said, you know, we also have a problem because mounds are our best seller, but we have to make literally every single mound by hand. So here's what Cal does that's very smart. He automates it. He takes like a Henry Ford approach and builds an assembly line to create the mounds. And this means they can sell more mounds. People really love them. And so in the 1930s, the Peter Paul Candy Company becomes, this is a true story, folks, the world's largest single consumer of coconuts.
Wow, there's something to be said about that. At this time, with the assembly line stuff and the kind of modernization of the process, it still wouldn't have been fully automated. I guess I'm picturing sort of like that I Love Lucy bit where Lucy and Ethel are like trying to wrap candies or something on this assembly line, and it goes out of control and so fast, and like Lucy to keep up just starts shoving the candies in her mouth. I'm guessing it's sort of there's still a human element at this point, even with this insane scaling that, you know, would just be operating on one of those like conveyor type assembly lines.
Mm-hmm. And so just like Swanson with all those turkeys that led to the invention of the frozen dinner, Peter Paul Candy Company is looking around the boardroom and they're awash with coconuts. They're riddled with coconuts. The boardroom probably has crates of coconuts, and they're like, what are we gonna do with
some guy's proposing something and a coconut falls and knocks him out?
Yes. Just, yeah,
everything.
And they're like, dang, Jeremy's out of the game. Almond Joy is developed as a result of this.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
You know, Ben, I got to say, one of the best parts about spring cleaning is that post-clean clarity you get where you're like, man, how have I been living like this? What's wrong with me?
You're right, Noel. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan.
It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only.
Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply.
See Mint Mobile for details. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. They used to make a thing called Dream Bars, which were coconut and diced almonds. But they invent Almond Joy as an evolution of this in 1948.
Yeah, that's interesting, because you'd think it would assembly. No, maybe not. Maybe assembly line wise, plopping that almond on there on its own is easier than dicing it and putting it in there. But it also allowed them to have two different candies that used the surplus of coconut. So they essentially were able to double their output. Both of the candies come in packages of two of these small bars and have the same exact filling. So there we go. Two coconuts with one coconut. And then Almond Joy, of course, uses milk chocolate and adds that whole almond. The almond is actually, you know, this answers my previous question. The almond is actually coated in chocolate before being added to the bar. And then the whole deal is coated again. And this protects the almond from getting soggy and gives, you know, folks kind of a little extra hit of chocolate.
Mm-hmm. And Max compares coconut to poison, which Max, I gotta tell you, man, have you ever had a good curry?
I had forgotten I wrote that line, and because this is my moment of truth right here.
Yeah,
I actually kind of like Almond Joys. Like, I never seek them out, but I don't mind them. It's more that I just can't have them with the condition.
The condition.
That's where this entire thing came from. Is I can't the have condition. Any candy because of the condition. I can't have citric acid. I can't have chocolate. I can't have almonds. Yeah.
No, but Ben, a good coconut curry is the jam. Huge fan.
I got to cook them for you sometime, you guys. I'm getting pretty good at it. But all right, so we have more satire from Palazzo and Pratt about the Almond Joy. Spoiler, I don't think we have to read the whole thing. it is, again, arguing a kind of fruitcake comparison. What we mean when we say fruitcake comparison is the old trope. I don't know if you guys have heard of this, but the old trope that because fruitcakes are shelf-stable, someone will give it to someone as a holiday thing, and the next holiday, someone will just send it back. They'll re-gift fruitcakes.
Sure.
I don't know. Have you guys ever eaten fruitcake? Are you a fan?
I don't think on purpose, no. Now that I think about it, I just don't like those kind of weird preserved candied fruits. They're just a little saccharine-y. Something about it just doesn't. The weird colors, the green cherries, you know, a little odd.
Yeah, I mean, one year Alex got a fruitcake for the family for Christmas, and it sat in the family fridge for weeks until somebody just threw it away because it was a joke. But it's like no one's gonna eat it.
That would be Alex Williams, biological brother of Max and our composer for Ridiculous History.
I remember y'all have an episode about fruitcakes for Antarctic explorers or something like that, right? Because the funny story here, I was a fan of the show before I worked on it. So I remember listening to that one and being like, oh, that's my fruitcake.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't think I've told you guys that before.
You have never. Wow. And here we are. Revelation. Learning it on the hot streets of the internet. Thank you, Max. That's very kind. We have other directions to go, of course. For many people listening, you might be thinking of other candy that has yet to be named. And you might be thinking, what about those Red Hots? What about all the cinnamon-flavored candy?
Lemon heads, perhaps.
What about Laffy Taffy? What about, you know, do you guys remember in days of childhood Halloween, the orange and black wax paper wrapped taffies? Was that just in my neighborhood?
Saltwater taffy kind of situation.
They had no label. They were clearly bought in bulk.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? No, I do know what you're talking about. Some of them would be various kind of pale colors, you know, pinks and blues and things like that.
Distressingly so. Somehow pallid and Lovecraftian.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
There's also another one we didn't talk. You mentioned Bit of Honey before earlier, right?
So I did.
Can I go on a little bit of a rant about this one?
Yeah.
Because it's like, so I've been using this. I used this article from Local Syracuse by Megan Hatch. It's basically, it was just a poll. Like, these are the candies that people hate. And Bit of Honey was on there. I'm like, I don't agree with that one. So like our equipment distributor, Sweetwater, one of their big things they do is they send a bag of candy to people. And we get Bit of Honey all the time.
And Laffy Taffy. Yeah. Always has Laffy Taffy.
Has Laffy Taffy too. And I remember just being like, a Bit of Honey. And then I ate it. I'm like, oh, that's actually like pretty good. It's got a nostalgia. It's like, you know, it's similar to a Tootsie Roll, but I think it's not a bad candy at all.
It tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yeah. It's just like a very concentrated version of Honey Nut Cheerios. So would you want to eat an entire Toblerone bar equivalent? Probably not in one sitting, right?
But you probably put away two or three.
You probably put it. Yeah. And that's, I think, also the genius of a lot of candy is the idea of individual packaging and wrapping. Like, you know, another thing we didn't have on the list here, you guys, do you remember the wax lips?
Yeah.
Is that candy? Are you supposed to eat it?
No. You're supposed to put it in your mouth and make a silly face. Yeah. It just makes you look goofy. And there'd be different ones with like, you know, you could get ones that are like vampire fangs. Yeah. I do remember a Looney Tunes episode. I can't remember who said it, but someone was like asking maybe Bugs Bunny for a tip, like, you know, a monetary tip. And he says, never leave wax lips on the dresser by an open window on a hot day.
That is technically true. That is technically
a
good tip. So shout out to Wacko Wax. They're one of the biggest manufacturers of that stuff. Yeah.
Still to this day, they must be the only game in town. Can't be a big crowded marketplace for wax lips anymore.
I'm sure Temu makes some, right? Because Temu makes everything. Have you guys gotten the Temu ads?
Oh, yeah. Their products are bizarre. Right, but like I'm looking now at like the classic configuration. You'd have one that was like a, you know, pretty lady lipstick type lips, and then there'd be vampire fangs, and then one was like it's like a mustache. There were probably some other variations. Those are the ones that I remember from the classics.
But wait for it. Do you know who owns Wacko Wax?
Mm-mm.
Tootsie Roll Industries.
Oh, no. It does say in some of the descriptions that they're chewable. but yeah. you're literally just chewing wax. It's like non-flavored gum. You
it's
know?
Like I think it's called food grade paraffin wax, which yeah. does not sound appetizing.
Anytime you say food grade, yeah, I think it right? always is there's, a little sus, right?
There's an implication, you know. It's up there with cheese food product.
That's exactly right. We mentioned Laffy Taffy quite a bit. I do appreciate their jokes. There's some good dad jokes contained within Laffy Taffy packaging.
Yeah, they are Laffy for sure. It's kind of like Bazooka Bubblegum. They had a comic book in there, you know.
Yeah, and Laffy Taffy's really good. There is good taffy. It's not my thing. But, like, you know, if you go to, like, a beachside community or something where they've got a little boardwalk, there's going to be, like, people stretching the taffy. And it's, you know, it's, again, it's just classic Americana. But, guys, moment of truth. How do you feel about licorice? Black licorice, specifically. Because that's even a stand-in for a term for, like, something that's an acquired taste. You say, that guy's black licorice, you know?
Good friend of the show, Lauren Vogelbaum, who may be returning soon, is a fan of licorice. One time she reached out to me and she told me that she had some licorice that was too far for her. Some drops of licorice that were like cough drops,
yeah.
you know, like a little Robitussin or something, kind of cough drop, but it was licorice flavored. It was sent to her for her show she does with Annie Reese called Savor. And they were like, this is a treat in Northern Europe. And she tried one and she said she couldn't get the taste out of her mouth for like an hour. So
it can be very intense. And yeah, in Europe, they pride themselves on the intensity of their licorice candies.
Great. Western Europe is saying to themselves, if we will be known for one thing,
yes,
it's the intensity of our licorice.
It is, in fact, derived from a plant yeah. that actually has some, I believe, medicinal properties.
Yeah. We're talking about...
I mean,
about,
it tastes like it does.
Glycyrrhiza glabra. Right, which mm-hmm. does sound like the name of a villain in Harry Potter or James Bond.
Yeah, and it has anti-inflammatory properties, can act as an antioxidant, and is also antimicrobial. Mm-hmm. It can help reduce acid reflux.
Yeah, it's generally recognized as safe. There are some problems with it. If you eat too much licorice, you might lower your potassium levels, which is nice. Yeah.
We were just talking about that.
Right, exactly.
And something I want you to know about yeah. the great potassium conspiracy about like, right. you know, supplement. We're going to do a whole episode on supplements, but that's interesting because apparently potassium, the way it is absorbed or something, mm-hmm. like it's harder to get from supplements than, say, vitamin C or what have you.
Yeah, you know, licorice is interesting because it's one of those love it or hate it things. Like, I don't see a lot of people who are very middling about licorice. I see people who have an adverse reaction or they're big fans.
Well, you know, it's funny because people will sometimes refer to Twizzlers or Red Vines as red licorice. But it's not the same at all. There's none of that licorice flavor is in that. It's just a similar medium, you know, for delivering kind of a sugary, strawberry adjacent, chewy treat. I actually quite like Twizzlers for a treat at the movies. I like you can bite off each end and use it as a straw for your soda.
I like a lot of stuff at cinema that I wouldn't normally eat.
There you go. Know?
I gotta say, I love a Nestle Crunch. Because yeah. I associate it with watching movies and you crunch it, just like putting M&Ms in the popcorn or something and shaking it up. You got a nice, sweet, salty treat. I do have one question for you guys, for everybody. Peeps, for them, against them.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that.
With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's and cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody. Like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's a marshmallow. I'm okay with it in general, but I don't love it. They're a little too sugary.
Did you guys see the Last Week Tonight? Like, they had like a period where they decided to go after Peeps. They did like a number of videos. I don't hate them. I don't love them. They're fine. I agree with Noel's take completely. They're just like a marshmallow that's a little too intense.
Okay. They're a marshmallow that went on. It's interesting because they originally came out in the early 1950s, and they were always a seasonally based thing. So it's not like candy corn where they sort of found where they fit in. They were always marketed originally at Easter. So I think that's why you don't see them happening as a, you know, like a nostalgic piece of other celebrations.
When did little duckies start being associated with Easter? I've always wondered. Baby ducklings. I guess maybe just because they're sort of springy associated, you know? I don't know. Because new birth, perhaps? Maybe rebirth because they're baby ducklings. But, you know, I understand the rabbits, even though that doesn't make much sense either. The Easter bunny, what that has to do with the resurrection.
Many poor kids grew up, like, and I say poor, not financially. I'm just like, I feel bad for all of us. How many kids grew up thinking there's a species of giant rabbits that lays eggs?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And then hides them.
And it's your job to heist this rabbit. It's very strange.
It's a little odd.
Maybe a history of Easter as a future episode. But what do we think, guys? Any other candy that we find just awful, or
again, can I just give you all the flavors of Necco wafers?
Yeah. I didn't even realize they had flavors. I just thought they were all the same.
There's eight flavors. Oh, and you guys are gonna cringe at some of them. We got wintergreen, chocolate, which by far chocolate's the best one. Lime, lemon, clove, cinnamon, orange, and here's the last one.
Yeah.
Licorice.
Yeah.
Yep, they got licorice.
Those things just feel like a pill. Like, you know, like it's something about them just feels so medicinal.
My dad was so happy when I gave them to him on Christmas. And he's like, oh, Max, what's? I'm like, oh, sorry, I can't have them with the condition, Dad. And I was so glad I could use that as an excuse. Like, nope, can't have those.
Oh, the condition.
The condition
the
is
the ultimate
true.
Excuse.
Yeah. The ultimate reason, right? We got your back there, Max. We also want to shout out, I think it wasn't it Stuff You Should Know? Did a Necco Wafers episode. Am I recalling that correctly?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that one. I always also kind of associate Necco Wafers with not Smarties. What are the ones that literally look like little pills that come rolled up? They're kind of smaller than Necco Wafers.
But they're not Smarties.
They're not Smarties. Smarties are round, right?
Right. And Tic Tac is not rolled up.
What am I thinking of? Flat pill candy.
Well, while you're looking that up, I want to shout out our alma mater, How Stuff Works, a great article.
They are Smarties.
Sorry. Oh, they are Smarties.
They're definitely Smarties, yeah. Okay. They're little pill-like. They look like an aspirin or something. But they're essentially, I think, following the lead of Necco Wafers. I'm not quite sure what the chronology is there.
They don't purport to have differing flavors. I want to shout out this article from our alma mater, How Stuff Works, by John Donovan, which answers the question some people may be having in the audience, Max in particular: how did the Necco wafer last so long? Because it's kind of like other, you know, if you go into a Cracker Barrel or a country store kind of thing, you see a lot of, you know, candy of yesteryear, like penny candy, rock crystal candy, whorehound, spelled H-O-R-E, hound.
Malamars. Mm-hmm. You guys know about Malamars? That's the marshmallowy, chocolatey thing. Really quickly, though, I was looking up the history of Smarties, and they definitely are pretty adjacent to Necco Wafers. Founded in 1949 by Edward D., he actually repurposed a World War II pellet-making machine to make, and that's where the shape of these things come
that's
from.
That's interesting.
So, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. And also, shout out to Max, who just slid us a note during class about Pepsi Peeps.
I don't know about Pepsi Peeps, but that sounds like something you'd take for a upset stomach.
Yeah, I learned that one from last week tonight. I've never had one, but there was a period where Pepsi and Peeps did a combination.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know how it tastes, but it's like, you know, awful marshmallows and awful soda mixed together.
And in February of 2023, they got back together because they have worked with each other for some time, it appears. This goes all the way to the top of soda and sugar and candy. And I can't believe it, but we made this a two-parter, huh? What do you think?
I think we did too. Last thing on Smarties. Sorry. One of the top results that comes up when you Google Smarties is, are Smarties made of chalk? So there you go. But no, I think this was a delightful two-parter.
And I got one last thing to leave us with. There, if you type in candy corn jokes into Google, you will find, as one of the top things, a candy corn looking in the mirror and says, well, I like me.
There you go.
Good. Believe in yourself.
They're cute corn. Looking. They have a nice shape. I like the aesthetics of candy corn. I just don't want to eat them.
I also, you know, I also want to note there are things like seafood flavored candy out there, like Japanese squid candy. Yeah, it's not bad. There are pickles flavored candies. What we're going to see is that throughout the world of candy, you can probably find the texture and the taste that you're looking for.
Agreed. It's out there. If you can imagine it, then chances are someone has created it.
And thanks, as always, for joining us, folks. Big, big thanks to our super producer and research associate, Mr. Max Williams. Big thanks to Alex Williams, composer of this slap and bop you hear at the end of every show. What candy do you think Jonathan Strickland, a.k.a. the Quister, enjoys? Do you think he's a candy man?
Well, he's in the sense that if you say his name a certain number of times in a mirror, he will appear and murder you with his hook hand.
I mean, I think he might go like, you know, the dentist route and eat apples as candy.
Right. That'll get you a toilet papering job instantly on Halloween.
Oh, Pez. Pez is what I was thinking about. Pez when you said is
a lot like Smarties. Related, very adjacent. But at least they figured out that we'll sell the shitty candy so that they can get the toy and the dispenser, you know? And then Pez dispensers was born.
I think Pez was original, or at least the dispenser was meant to be an anti-smoking aid or something like that. Story for another day, perhaps. Thank you to Pez.
For sure. Yeah. I actually think, if I'm not mistaken, we've talked a bit about the history of Pez, and I think it's a story unto itself. Like, I believe there were some twists and turns in that one. So maybe we'll revisit that for a future episode. But man, this is fun.
Thanks also to Christopher Hasiotis, Yves Jeffcoat, Gabe Luzier, our pals at Ridiculous Crime. We got an excellent opportunity to hang out with them recently. So check out that crossover wherein we as a group play a game called 20 Questions.
We'll see you next time, folks.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Avalon Waterways. Ben, are you in major need of a vacation right now?
Noel, you're a mind reader. I am, and aren't we all?
We are. While cruising remains popular, there's something big happening in the industry, and that is, my friend, smaller ships.
True story. The intimate ships of Avalon Waterways can go where the big ships can only dream, through winding passageways of rolling vineyards and castled hills into the heart of timeless cities and storybook villages.
That sounds like a delight. See how Avalon's smaller ships promise greater discoveries, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.